I'm not sure what all you've experienced of Jesus Christ, but I can assure you, whatever your experience is or has been, there's still more. There is still more. I want to preach to you this morning from the book of Matthew, chapter 14, and some other places. I want to start here in Matthew chapter 14. This is a story of the cousin of Jesus Christ, John the Baptist, who was the forerunner, who was going on and preaching and calling people to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then lo and behold, Jesus comes to him and asks John to baptize him. And John says, I'm not even worthy to tie your sandals. How do you want me to baptize you? Let's read in Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to read the first 12 verses. Would you stand, if you're able to, in honor of the reading of God's Word? It says, at that time Herod the Tetrarch heard the reports about Jesus, and he said to his attendants, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead. This is why miraculous powers are at work in him. Now Herod had arrested John and bound him and put him in prison because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for John had been saying to him, it is not lawful for you to have her. Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of the people because they considered John a prophet. On Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias danced for the guest and pleased Herod so much that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked. Prompted by her mother, she said, give me here on a platter the head of John the Baptist. The king was distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he ordered that her request be granted. He had John beheaded in prison. His head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, who carried it to her mother. John's disciples came and took his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus. You may be seated. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Now this is a gruesome tale. It's a gruesome story. Let me kind of recap what's been going on here. It was the king's birthday, Herod. He called all the commanders of the military to come in. He called all of his friends. He probably called some other people in just to pay them to pretend like they were his friends, to give them a lot more. I mean, that's what they did. Quite a party was thrown. Lots of drinking, eating, exchanging of gifts, and celebrating. In this story, though, we find that prior to this celebration, Herod and his wife had actually visited the Jordan River where John was speaking and preaching, and they had an encounter with John the Baptist. John's preaching moved many who heard, and I believe it moved Herod. It certainly moved his wife, but in a different way. Now, John looked at Herod and his wife, and he told him, it's not right for you to have her as your wife. That's your brother's wife. It's not right for you to be married to your brother's wife. And basically, they were living in adultery. It's what he told them, basically. He said, shame on you, king. Look right at him. And now Herod was humiliated, but his wife was infuriated. She was mad. She hated John the Baptist. Now, Herod was not a great man, but he wasn't necessarily a full of evil. He wasn't a bad, bad person. He did have John arrested and thrown in prison, but he showed special favor to him. And we find in Scripture that he took care of him and even came to visit with John to listen to him preach in prison. Like he had a captive speaker there. He could go and listen to him whenever he wanted to. Herod, like I said, was not a bad man, but he was a weak man. His downfall was not that he was evil, that he hated John. He was just weak. Did you know you don't have to be a bad person? But if you're weak, it's only a matter of time before you start doing bad things. I used to tell my kids, you are who you hang with. The more you surround yourself with bad things, the more susceptible you are for you to be involved in bad things. You are who you hang with. Back to the party. The birthday party of the king. Now the crowd is happy and the drink is flowing. The bellies are full. And it's time for the entertainment. The Bible tells us that it was a dance presentation by his stepdaughter, his wife's daughter, niece. See, it gets real confusing. It's his niece, stepdaughter, whatever she is. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what kind of dance it was. It might have been the hokey pokey. But that's not what it's all about. It probably was not that. It probably was not the Texas two-step. She probably did not line everybody up and teach them the latest line dance. This was most likely a very provocative type of dance. Now remember, I don't think that he was necessarily an evil man, but he was weak, right? In this atmosphere where there was drinking, dancing, manly men, you know, he called his commanders in, the manly men, these big burly guys. And all these circumstances, these elements were present to where inhibitions were thrown out the window. Now, Herod was about to do a bad thing because he placed himself in this circumstance. The Bible tells us that the dance pleased Herod. Now, the Greek word for this word used here, pleased, means the lifting of an anchor and being carried away. Lift your spirits and being carried away. Or getting plumb flat carried away. Rebecca said, caught up in the moment, and that's exactly what happens. Now, this is probably not something that we cannot understand. More than likely, everybody in this room understands what it might be like to get so caught up you get carried away. Herod was there. He was pleased with the dance. Any restraint he had was gone when he lifted the anchor and got carried away. In fact, he was so carried away, he told the girl that she could have anything she wanted, even up to half of the kingdom. He told her to name her price for the dance. You need to know something. When it comes time to pay the high cost for low living, you don't get to decide the cost. Herod said, "This pleases me. Name your price." He didn't get to name the price. He put it to her hands. The girl goes off in another room and consults with her mother. Her mother, who has what kind of feelings about John the Baptist? She hated him. "Mother, what should I ask for?" "Oh, honey dear, ask for this. Ask that John be killed. Bring it to me on the platter." She never wanted to hear that voice of repentance calling out to her ever again. The voice of conviction. When she told the king what her price was, the Bible says that Herod was distressed or grieved. Remember, I think Herod was moved by John the Baptist. He would not, listen, the king would not have gone down into the prison to to visit with John the Baptist had there not been something that he needed or wanted or felt compelled to go to. He was moved, I believe. He was moved. And I believe that's part of the reason why it distressed him so, that that was the price for the dance. When sin confronts us, we know there's going to be a price to pay. But all of us, all too often, sometimes we think, and we may even be grieved by the immediacy of the thing right in front of us, but it overrules the cost that we don't even get to sit. I think it's important to note that Herod could have stopped the dance at any time. And listen, if he had stopped the dance midstream, he would not have been obligated to honor the payment. He's a king. Okay? He said, I'll give you, name your price for the dance. If the dance was not completed, if he had stopped it and said, wait, time out, I don't want to do this anymore, no deal, right? No, and it's completely legal. He's not obligated until it was completed. When it comes time to pay the high cost for low living, you don't get to decide that cost. But if you let it go all the way to the end, you have no choice but to pay the high price. When you silence the voice of repentance, the cost may be silence when you want to hear the voice of God. If you hear the voice calling you today, oh, my friend, you need to repent. You need to realize how blessed you are that you hear the voice of conviction in your heart. That's a blessing. Some people say, I don't want to feel convicted. Oh, yes, I do. Because if I'm gone astray, I want the Lord calling me back. The day that He just lets me go is a bad day. I never want to see that day. The worst day you would ever have is when you no longer hear that voice. It'll mean that you have had to pay that high price. But if you hear the voice of conviction, it's not too late. You can repent. You can follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit and turn before it's too late. You can stop the dance midstream. I'm not sure what kind of dance you're entertaining these days. We all entertain these dances. And we realize there's a cost. And sometimes we get so caught up and carried away, they say, it doesn't matter what the cost. I got the dance. I got the whatever it is. I got the substance. I've got the relationship. I've got the emotional high. I've got the whatever it is. It feels good. And I like it. And I don't want anything to stop it. I'll worry about the cost later. Friend, we have to understand sometimes that cost is more than we're really willing to pay. We find the final payment for Herod's dancer is in Luke chapter 23, verse 8. And I've asked the guys to put this on the screen. Jesus is brought before Herod. This is later, all right? When Jesus has been arrested and moved about from leader to leader and trial and trial, and he comes before Herod. And it says that Herod was greatly pleased because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. And when he heard about him, he hoped to see him perform a sign of some sort. And he plied him with many questions. This is Herod, the king, has Jesus in front of him. Jesus, whom they said, this might be John the Baptist. Come back to life. And he heard about all these things and he's like, oh, I found relief. I put myself in a position where I had no choice but to kill the voice that I longed to hear. And now, I've got this Jesus in front of me. Jesus, I have questions for you. And he asked them. And what did he get in response from Jesus Christ? The Bible says, but Jesus gave him no answer. Finally had God himself standing right in front of him. Asked him the questions. What did he get? silenced. Herod had longed to hear the voice of Jesus. He had silenced the voice of God by killing the voice of repentance. Folks, if you cut off the voice of repentance in your life, Jesus has nothing else to say except, "Depart from me. I never knew you." That is a high cost. That is the highest cost for low living. What do I mean by low living? It's just sin. And I say that as if it's just sin, just nothing. Folks, sin is what separates us from God. It's the thing that separates us from God. And God is calling us back to Him. God is saying, "I've made a way for you. Stop doing what you're doing. It's not right." That voice of conviction that's calling us to repentance. John was calling the people, "Repent! Repent! For the kingdom of God is near." What does repent mean? Turn from what you're doing. Go the other way. There's a better way over here. This is bad for you. It's bad for people. It's not good. Doesn't please God. Doesn't help you. Turn from it. Go the other way. Turn and repent. And people turned and repented. And some people ignored it. There's a price to pay for ignoring that voice. There's a price to pay for squashing that voice in our ears. Herodia, the Herod's wife, she had that voice completely cut off to where she would no longer ever have to hear that voice of conviction in her life. There's a price to pay. There's a price to pay when you cut that voice off by just ignoring it. When you cut that voice off by just pushing it to the side, stuffing it down in a box, closing it up, putting a lock on it, say, "I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. I like the dance." There's a voice calling you. And when you don't respond to it, you're cutting off the voice of conviction. It's a serious thing to cut off conviction, to ignore it to the point that we don't feel conviction any longer, to become hard and callous to the point that we don't feel anything God has for us. Now, it was not Herod's intention to do this in the beginning, but he was weak, and sometimes someone else got to set the high cost of his low living here at this time. He was weak. He didn't intend for all this to happen, but because he did nothing, it happened. Whatever you've got going on, I need you to know, I need you to hear this plain and clear. You can stop the dance today. You can stop the ministry. You can stop the whatever. If it's a relationship outside of your marriage, you can stop that today. If it's an addiction to a substance, you can stop that today. If it's tempting and flirting with any of those things, you can stop that today. If it's bitterness and it's just eating you up, you can stop that today. If it's whatever it is, if it's unforgiveness, you can stop that today. Don't harden your heart to the voice of God. Listen and respond and watch your life change in such a way that you could never have done on your own. The voice of repentance. Do you hear it? Do you hear it in your life? Let me tell you something. If you hear it, that's a good thing. It's a good thing. That means it's not too late. If you hear it today, let me encourage your friend to respond. To respond to that call. That voice of conviction, that call to repentance. The best time to respond to God is when He calls. I'm going to close with John the Baptist's own words. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, before it's too late, he said. We don't know the time. We don't know the hour. Folks, we were on our way up to Illinois. Was following Chad in the car right in front of us, right? And now this car comes zooming over from two lanes over to try to come right between us, and there was not enough room for him, and he was going to make that exit. And he came over, and I did what I could. Did you see this, Chad? Okay. He came over, and by the time he knew he wasn't going to make it, he swerved back to the left, swerved two lanes back over, and nearly sideswiped the other car. Okay? It doesn't take much, folks. And you never know. If you hear that voice of conviction, hear that voice of repentance calling you today, respond today. There is a high cost to low living. And by low living, I mean anything that does not please the Father, anything that gets in the way. Sin is that barrier. It separates us. And the more separation we have, the harder it is to hear the voice sometimes. If you've heard the voice, that's good news. Now do something about it. Do something about it. I'm not sure what dancer you've got dancing in front of you. We've all got them. You don't have to let her finish the dance. You don't have to let him finish the dance. You can stop and say, "Whoa, I'm not going there. This ain't right, and I'm not doing it because I've heard the voice of God tell me so, and I'm going to respond to that voice, not what I feel, not what I want, not what the... I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. You can do that. And God will give you strength. Sometimes all it takes is you to take that first step, take that first move towards there, and then God just fills you up and bolsters you up and gives you the strength. The Bible says that He will not allow you to be tempted where you don't have a way out. You can take the way out. You can call off the dance. If you hear the voice, that's good news. But it's only good for you if you respond to it. Hear the voice today. Respond to the voice. The altar is going to be open. I'll be here in the front. I'd be glad to pray with you, but you don't need me. I mean, I'll be glad to if you want me, but you don't need me. You can go straight to God and say, "Look, God, here's the deal. I'm going to lay it out there. I know that you already know, but I need to tell you. Here's my own words. Here's what it is. And I want to stop it. I don't want it anymore in my life. I don't want to have to pay the price for that. Lord, you've already paid the price for me if I respond to you. Don't catch me not responding to you, Lord." Father in heaven, oh, hear us today, Lord. Hear us cry out to you. May you find us crying out to you, responding to your cry out to us to stop, to turn. Lord, I thank you that you have paid such a high price. And you didn't pay that high price for me to live low. Father, may you find us worthy of the price that you paid for us. You call us to raise our standard, to get out of the gutter, get out of the slums and come up. Father, you're building a palace for me. You're building the palaces for all of us, mansions in heaven. May you find us with an attentive ear to your voice, Lord. Not stuffing it away, not keeping it silent, not saying like Herod's wife, "I know I never want to hear that voice of conviction." Guess what, Lord? She didn't hear it again, ever. Not from John. She silenced it. Oh, Lord, may we never silence the voice of conviction in our life. May we welcome it, because it means you still love us and you're still calling us and you still have a better plan for us. Lord, help us to respond to you when you call. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you to...